Unit 2. Listening. Part 3. You'll hear an interview in which an Irish-Australian writer called Patrick O'Reilly is talking about the Irish Gaelic language. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear.
Good evening, everyone. With me in the studio today is Patrick O'Reilly, a third-generation Irish-Australian who is a writer and broadcaster and passionate supporter of the Irish Gaelic language. Welcome, Patrick.
Thank you, Sinead.
Tell me, Patrick, what significance does Irish have for you?
Well, as you said, I'm an Irish-Australian. Irish is my second language. I didn't learn it in Ireland, but here in Australia. In the 18th century, it was the first language of many of the Irish people who settled here.
And didn't it almost slip away at one point?
That's right, but it never quite vanished. So to me, Irish is a language of this country. It's in the streets of a Melbourne suburb, the heat of Australian summers. It's the language in which I speak to my daughter, in which I broadcast and in which I write. I'm conscious of its history here.
How do you feel about the language itself?
Well, Irish is a language of passionate songs. And it has one of the oldest literatures in Western Europe. It's descended from the language of those Celts who arrived in the British Isles at the end of the Bronze Age, so it dates back thousands of years. But for me, what is truly remarkable is that when Ireland finally became independent early in the last century, the Irish language acquired renewed importance as a vehicle of scholarship. Now it has a television network and has achieved something inconceivable even 30 years ago. It has also become trendy and positively cool today.
And what made you want to learn Irish as a language?
You may well ask. When I began learning the language, my enthusiasm was viewed as eccentric.
Why?
Well, some people thought that Irish Gaelic was dead, like Latin, although in fact it was still spoken as a first language by a few thousand people on the west coast of Ireland. So why did I learn it? Ireland wasn't a part of my childhood in any significant way. My great-grandparents had come here from Southern Ireland during the Gold Rush, and we had become solidly Australian. But I liked languages and the worlds they could reveal. Irish promised me a world of my own. I was conscious, I think, that my people's past lay elsewhere.
And your Irish ancestry has played a big part in your writing too, I believe.
That's right. The stories I write in Irish are published only in Ireland, yet they deal with the peculiar situation of the language here in Australia. If I write in English, I use a language which has had time to adapt to a new history, a new society. It has its own accent, its own everyday language. This has also happened with Italian, but Italian is the first or second language of a whole community. Irish in this country is the language of scattered individuals, so it hasn't adapted to modern needs. As an Australian who writes in Irish, I must bring about the linguistic adaptation which has taken 200 years to accomplish in English.
And yet, you implied earlier that Irish had become fashionable. Is that the case in Australia?
Well, yes. Here it actually means that every year a number of people go to Irish language classes and that a minority eventually become fluent. Irish has become a new trend because Ireland itself is now a major draw for tourists. Thousands of Australians visit Ireland every year to seek the house their great-grandmother was born in, Irish relatives. Others want to see the green landscape of old legends. For some, the Irish language is part of all this. I once interviewed a young woman from Melbourne who became so fascinated by traditional Irish singing that she learnt Irish and now works in the Aran Islands off the coast of Ireland.
And what other motivation would Australians have for learning Irish?
Well, many will tell you that it's something to do with their interest in languages, but I would say that other motives are concealed in this phrase, motives as various as the individual's. It's also true, surely, that it allows the expression of an aspect of identity long suppressed, yet felt to be vital. Few people can bear to be rootless. We must all come from somewhere, and language is a fundamental part of identity. Not many feel the need to explore their past by learning Irish, but that even a few should do so is significant.
Thank you, Patrick. It's been interesting talking to you.
Thank you.